Turn your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3. Let's read verses 21 through verse number 26 together as we introduce the thought this morning. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you this morning that you'd give me liberty to preach, that you'd give me clarity of thought. Allow me to speak that which you've prepared in my heart and mind, the things that you would have said that people need to be given hope this morning. Lord, we just pray that you would work in the hearts and lives of these, your people. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is, There is Hope. There is Hope. The book of Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. It's a cry of the heart of God. Actually, five cries or five laments of the situation that had befallen his people, that had been taken into captivity. The destruction of Jerusalem. The people who were in such hardship and trial and torment. It is self-will and sin that caused the calamity that faced them here, as it is many times in our own lives. But the prophet says in verse number 21, look back at it with me if you would. He says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Hope, as we look at these things and as we look at this thought, what is hope? What is hope? Would any of you young people care to give me a definition of hope? A confident expectation. Hope is a confident expectation that something that hasn't come to pass, but you have a confident expectation that it will. Look back at verse number 26 now. You see, the people of God were in captivity. They were in bondage. And you see, he says in verse number 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You see, these people were in captivity. They were in bondage. And Jeremiah was saying, it's good that you should hope, that you should have a confident expectation that your deliverance is coming. You should be able to hope. You should be able to have a confident expectation. And as you're confidently expecting, as you're waiting, as you have that hope of deliverance from bondage, know that you just got to wait. Just wait. Because your deliverance is coming. And this morning, Christian, you and I have a confident expectation of the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, one day. He's going to come, and it may be today, and it may be tomorrow. We don't know when it's going to be, but we have a confident expectation that the day is going to come when Jesus will come again. He will deliver us. He will come again. Just quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Now, as I lay this foundation, I want to consider some words from this same author, Jeremiah. Look back in Jeremiah chapter 18 with me, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 18, here is a story that we're familiar with. I don't need to teach the whole story, don't have time to teach it this morning, but look in Jeremiah 18, verse number 12. In verse number 12, he says, and they said, what's the next four words? There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imaginations of his own heart. You see, the prophet Jeremiah was preaching to the people and preaching their sin situation, preaching where they were at and what they needed to do before an almighty God, and they had reached a very sad place in their life. They had reached the place, even as a believer, even as a child of God, even as a Christian, where they said, there is no hope. Dear friend, I want you to know that there is always hope. One of the reasons we know that there's hope, even in this chapter, In verse number 4 of Jeremiah 18, he says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it." You see, this clay was marred in the hand of the potter. It wasn't marred by the potter. It was marred in the hand of the potter. And he made another vessel from that. The great thing about the God that we serve is that he can make again another vessel. When I was serving at Heritage Baptist Church for 7.5 years, we built a lot of buildings. And as you know, I was in charge of the buildings. I've asked Pastor Gus to put a couple of pictures up to show, to illustrate something that we did. Now, we built this building on a piece of property. We completed it, and in less than 1 year, we tore it down board by board, denailed every single 2x4 we could, pulled the drywall off. It was all glued. We had to run it through a table saw to cut the drywall off the face of the 2x4s. All of the floor joists were glued. We had to cut all of them off. We took it all apart board by board and piece of metal by metal and moved it to another piece of property. You see, we were landlocked as a church and we couldn't build anymore. And the church kept growing. And so we moved 5 miles away. Now, the company that bought our land, and they said, "We don't want the buildings. We're going to plow them over. Anything you want, take it." We had just completed this brand new building. All new fixtures, all new ceiling tile, all new doors, all new air conditioners, furnaces, heaters. We got to take it all with us. We had to take it all apart to do it. But the ceiling of that building, see the parts that's painted white and then the red beams? That's because it had been used before. We had it set up at another place. It was used, and we took it all apart, brought it over. When we built it again, because we were building in a new place with new buildings, there was different needs. And so we put this building back together, but we didn't put it back exactly the way it was. We built it again, another vessel. We used all the same materials. We used what was there, the pieces that we were able to salvage, and we took it to a new place and repurposed it to fulfill the needs that were presented to us there at that property. You see, Jesus Christ can do that in our lives. The clay was marred in the hand of the potter. It's not marred by the potter. It's us that messes up our lives. It's us that mars our lives. But praise God that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the context of this passage, God is saying, "Okay, children of Israel, I sustained you. I created you. I gave you what you needed. I delivered you from bondage. I helped you. All that you have because of me. And yet you marred yourself. You messed yourself up. You're the one that went after other gods. You're the one that made me jealous, a jealous God, because you went after other gods." But many times that's what we as Christians do today. God who created us, God who drew us to himself, who has saved our soul, who's given us a home and a hope of eternity, and we go after other gods. That's why there's a number of people that are missing from the congregation this morning. They know they should be in church, but they have chosen to put something else before God on Sunday morning. Whether it's a job or entertainment or recreation, or even just, "This is the only day that I have to rest, so I'm going to stay home and I'm going to rest today. I deserve this." You deserve to put yourself before an almighty God who saved you, who sustains you, who provides for you, who loves you. We put other things in front of God. But the joy is that the potter can make again another vessel. That's why there's hope. Sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we miss what is God's perfect will for our lives. But God can make again another vessel. Maybe you here this morning are in a situation in your life and you've made a mess of it. You've gone down some wrong paths or you've made some wrong decisions. And you're at the place where the children of Israel were here in the book of Jeremiah. And then you're saying, "There is no hope." There is hope. Because God can make again another vessel. vessel. Wherever you're at, whatever you've done in your life, whatever situations you've arisen, God's still looking for you. God still wants you. God still wants to do something with you. God can still use you if you come back to Him. The reason we try and point to the young people and try and get them to do good and to do right is we want them to be precious vessels. We don't want the vessels to be ruined. I know young people that you think all adults, after the lights go out, sit down and connive how they can make your lives miserable. They plan which ways to destroy your fun. The sinister evil authority. No, they want what's best for you. And if you had a measure of wisdom, you would submit to the authorities in your life. You would yield to your mother and father. You would hear your Sunday school teacher as he's preaching or teaching to you the Word of God, saying, don't go down that path. It's a path of destruction. It's going to hurt. It's going to destroy. It's going to ruin the vessel that you have. You've got to save the vessel. But many, because of their own flesh and the devil, destroy what they could have had. But I'm thankful this morning there's a God in heaven that will pick up the pieces wherever you drop them. There's a God in heaven, no matter where you are in your life. Just because you may have made a mess, don't throw in the towel, don't give up. God can pick up the pieces. He can use you again. If that was not the case, as Brother Wayne was talking about this morning, look at Moses. He killed a man, and God used him to lead the children of Israel. Look at David, a man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, who was an adulterous murderer. But God picked up the pieces. Look at Peter, who cursed God, who denied him, and yet God used him to preach at Pentecost. You come to church here. You see the rest of the people. You see the men in their ties and ladies in their dresses and Bible under their arm, and you look and you think, man, I must be the only sinner in church today. But you know what? Everybody else is saying the exact same thing. If you only knew where everybody else in this church was. What I'm saying this morning is if you look around the church and you just look downstairs and you see the Sunday school teachers that are teaching in all of the classes and you think, wow, look at the Sunday school teachers. Look how godly they are. Look at the nursery workers and how godly they are. Look at those that work on the bus route and bring in kids to church and look how godly they are. Oh my, look at Pastor Gus and Pastor Derek or Pastor Caleb. Look how godly they are. I want to tell you something this morning. If we didn't serve a God of second chance, we would not have anybody worthy of service for the King. Nobody this morning could be serving, could hold themselves up as worthy to do the work of God. But because we serve a God that's willing and able to pick up the pieces wherever we drop them and make again another vessel, that's why we have hope. We know there's hope. There's always hope. Turn back to the book of Lamentations. I want to give you three things from our text this morning about hope. Why this author, why Jeremiah in Lamentations was able to say, he said, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. What did he recall to his mind? What is it he recalled that gave him hope? He said it right there, this I recall. So that immediately to me, I'm thinking, well, what did he recall? What is it that gave him hope? Then he starts to give it to us. He gives the first one here. He says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. He had hope because of the mercy of God. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You know, David was a man that faced many trials in his life. He went through a lot of hardships, and I don't have time to delve into them or try and explain or expound on them. I hope you have some Bible knowledge to know the hardships that David faced. But in his hardships, David was familiar with the mercies of God. He sought after the mercies of God. Do you remember in a situation where David sinned with Bathsheba And the man of God came and said, thou art the man. And judgment was pronounced on him. And his son was going to die because of the sin that he had committed. And when his son was sick unto death, David fasted and prayed for 7 days. If you remember that, that's in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, I believe. He prayed for 7 days. And at the end of 7 days, the boy passed away. The boy died. And his servants were afraid to even go tell him, like, oh man, did you see how distraught he was when the boy was just sick? Now that he's dead, we can't tell him. But the Bible says David perceived that the boy had passed away. And the boy passed away, and when David found that out, he stood up. He went and he bathed himself and he clothed himself and he sat down to eat. And his servants said, why do you do these things? It didn't make sense to them. And he said, who would know but that the Lord would be gracious to me. That the Lord would have mercy. And that's not an exact quote, but that idea. He said, who is it that maybe the Lord would have shown me mercy? He said, I know that I deserve for that son to die. I know that I had done wrong and that sin was upon me and it was my fault. But I thought maybe I could have some of God's mercy. But how did he know that that was even possible? Because he had experienced the mercy of God before. You remember when David numbered the children of Israel? And the prophet Gad came to him and said, hey, you've done wrong. You've messed up, buddy. And you're going to be judged by God. Now God's going to give you 3 choices. Which one do you want? I wish my dad would have done that once or twice. Gave me a choice of what my punishment was going to be. I wish one of them was let your brother take it for you. I would have been all for that. But he said, without hesitation, give me over to the mercy of God. He didn't want his enemies to have control. He didn't want famine in the land. He said, put me at the mercy of God. Somebody familiar with the mercy of God would have known that was the best place to be. Because of his mercy, there is hope. There is hope. Listen, when everything that we go through in this life, no matter how hard it is, we are still experiencing the mercy of God. Psalms 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. You know, grace is God giving us more than we deserve, things that we don't deserve. But mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. We are every day living in the mercy of God. It is amazing. The psalmist says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That even God would be mindful of us at all. Everything you go through in life, you're still experiencing God's mercy. You say, oh, this is too hard. You're still in God's mercy. This is too difficult. You're still in God's mercy. Life is unfair. You're still in God's mercy. I don't like this. You're still in God's mercy. On your worst day, you are still experiencing the mercy of an almighty God who has not given us what we deserve. Just think about our text. The people of God here were in captivity. They were in bondage. In our verse here, he says, it is because of God's mercy that ye are not consumed. Because of the mercy of God, they weren't consumed where they were at. They weren't destroyed. It is by God's mercy that they had a place to lay their head. By God's mercy that they had food to eat. By God's mercy that they were not just killed there in that land. He says, you would be consumed, you would be burned up except for the mercy of God. No matter how hard it is, there is hope because I have God's mercy. Let Israel hope in the Lord. Psalms 130, verse number 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. God did not give me what I deserve. Some of you are ready to give up. You're ready to throw in the towel. You're ready to call it quits because you're letting your light affliction get the better of you instead of realizing and basking in the mercy that God is showing you. The fact is if I die tomorrow, I have experienced more mercy than I deserve. I have had way more joy than I deserve. If I tomorrow lose my wife, the wife of my youth, the love of my life. My cool breeze on a hot summer day. My morning sunshine. How much further do I have to go? Is that good enough? Okay. If I tomorrow lose her, God has still been better to me than I deserve. If I have to live all the rest of my days without the love of my life, God has still been merciful to me. And some of us are dealing with some situations that are, yes, they're challenging, and yes, they're burdensome, but we're letting the situation hold us down and get us to the place where we feel like there's no hope. But we got to get our eyes off the situation and realize we've got an almighty God who is daily sustaining us with His mercy. There is hope because I have God's mercy. He says in this text, he goes on, he said, the Lord is merciful that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. There are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Jeremiah said, I have hope because God is faithful. Because God is faithful. Faithfulness means trustworthy. God is trustworthy. Okay, God, our Father, is trustworthy. Always, in every situation. You know, the fact is man might fail you, but God will never fail you. I hope that I remain faithful all of my days to God and to God's people. I hope I can end my days with a powerful testimony for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But understand this morning that I'm just a man. And your hope should never be in just a man. As Bradley said this morning, he had some hope in a man that was a youth pastor that slipped up, that fell, and it almost destroyed him as a Christian. And when you put your hope in man who will fail you, you will be discouraged. But if you have your hope in an almighty God and the faithfulness that He is, we can't even comprehend how faithful He is. We take our comprehension of trustworthiness and our understanding of the word faithfulness and we apply it to Almighty God, and our understanding of it falls so far short of how faithful and consistent and trustworthy our God is. Because He is perfect in His faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Do you know that chorus? Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. God is faithful in every situation. We can rely on His word. The faithfulness of His word, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We can hope in God because we have the faithfulness of His word. Psalms 119, 114, Thou art my hiding place, my shield. I hope in Thy word. A confident expectation, confident that we know we serve a faithful God. Hosea is such a beautiful picture of the love and the faithfulness of an almighty God. You know the story of Hosea, who loved his wife, Gomer. Gomer decided she didn't want to be a wife and a mother any longer, and she went out and played the whore. She left. You get down to chapter number 3, and you find that there's an auction taking place. These women who were no longer fit for that life were being auctioned off. And Hosea went down to the auction house to bid on his wife. Can you picture with me Hosea at home working there? He's out in the garden working and tilling the ground and doing what he has to do, and he has to stop and go inside and take care of the kids because his wife, his helpmeet, is no longer there. He gets them dinner, and he's working with them, and he gets them all settled, and he goes back outside to do the work. And as he's working in the yard there, one of his neighbors comes by and goes, "Hey, Hosea, guess what? I saw your wife." And he's like, "I don't want to hear about it." And he's working, and he's like, no, I saw her. She's down, she's on the auction block." Thinking that he would find it humorous that her life had reached such a sad end. And Hosea thought, "She's on the auction block?" He drops his tools and starts heading down there to the auction house. And you can imagine the neighbors and people looking on and seeing him walking to the auction house. You can imagine them thinking, "Oh, Hosea's going to go down to the auction house and he's going to mock her. He's going to look, see, you got what you deserve. You went out and you played the whore. You deserve everything you're getting." Thinking that he's going to go do that. But you get to chapter 3, I think it's around verse number 4, you find out Hosea is bidding for his wife. Hosea pays more for his wife than anyone else was willing to pay. He loved her more. He paid a higher price than anyone else was willing to pay so that he could buy her back. That's what Jesus did for you. We went out and sought after our own things and walked away from an almighty God who has done so much for us, and we've disregarded our responsibilities and sought after our own self-will and our own sin. And when we come to the place that we're willing to kneel and bow, we have an almighty Father who will, as the prodigal of old, take us back again. He will make again another vessel when we're willing to come back. He paid a higher price for us than anyone else was willing to pay. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. No matter how hard it is, there's hope because of God's faithfulness. I want you to see the last one in our text this morning. He says, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And he says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him." Thirdly, he had hope because he is mine. He said, "The Lord is my portion." My portion. He is my Lord. He's not just a Lord that I know or one that's out there. He is my Lord, and I am his. Like Thomas in John 20:28. He answered and said unto him, "My Lord, my God." Is he your Lord? Do you know him that way? Do you know that he is your Lord this morning? You see in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven." The Lord is mine, and I know that he is mine. Because I have done what God the Father said we have to do, confess our sin before an almighty God, realize that Jesus Christ came and paid that penalty for me, forgave me if he was willing to, and I ask for forgiveness of my sin from the sacrifice that Jesus paid on a cross. And I trusted in him. You know, just to know that there's a Lord out there, that there is God, is not enough. As we were talking about in Sunday school, again, there are those that say they were giving glory to the Lord, saying, "Oh, I know the Lord did that." And some people might see hailstorms, or they might see tremendous things happening or earthquakes around the world. And they might say, "Oh, you know, God is in control of those things," and they know about God. But there has to be a time where they made God their God. He is my Lord. Therefore, I have hope. And there are people that are going around this world today. They're even sitting in the pews of churches all over the country. They know about God, but they don't have a personal relationship with him. Therefore, they're sitting in church and they have religion, and they're sitting there wondering what it's all about. And why do these people talk about having hope? And they feel that there is no hope because they don't have a relationship with an almighty God. Is he your Lord? You can have hope this morning if he is. John 10:28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. When I got saved, I got saved. And it was done. Forever. Don't have to get saved again. Don't have to ask forgiveness again. Not for salvation. Now, if I mess up, I might have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And the Bible says he'll forgive me for that. But my salvation is sealed unto the day of redemption. Once you're born into the family of God, you're always in the family of God. You know, the Bible says to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We've been adopted into the family of God. You know what's amazing? Now, I personally haven't adopted any kids. There's some here that have, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. But my sister's adopted some kids. Do you know that adopted children, at least in America, adopted children have more rights than a natural born son or daughter? Do you know that they cannot disown them? If my kids mess up, I could disown the whole lot of them. I could say, there's no way I'm going to split my $200 with the five of you. I'm keeping it. You're not getting a red cent from me. I could disown them. But they can't disown their kids because they're adopted. You know, we've been adopted into the family of God. You're never going to be taken out. You are made joint heirs with the Son of the King. Not just any king, the King of Kings. Into the family of God. Is he yours this morning? There is hope because he is mine. I have hope because when all of this life is over, when every trial comes to an end, I'm going to wake up on shores and call it heaven. I'm going to be in glory. I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I'm going to see my Savior face to face. I'm going to walk with my loved ones and friends that have gone on before me. I know where I'm going when I die because he is mine. You know, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Proverbs 14:32. The righteous has hope in his death. What is that hope? We sorrow not as those that have no hope, because we know that he's gone to prepare a place for us, that where I am, there ye may be also. I have hope because he is mine. He is my portion. No matter how hard this life gets, no matter what trial I bear, I can have hope because of God's mercy, because of God's faithfulness, and because I know he is mine. Do you have hope this morning?